Welcome to the Men of 8 Gang podcast for Saturday, October 18th, 2008. Welcome back, and today we are very happy to have on with us Pete Birkeland from Rainsource Capital. Pete, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Excellent. And the normal cast of characters, except for our buddy Phil, who couldn't make it today, Garrick Van Buren.
Hello.
Tim Elliott.
Good morning.
And Graham Thickens.
Hello there.
Excellent. Well, we have a lot of stuff to cover, and we want to respect your time with your family today, Pete, being on vacation. What if we just start off talking about sort of the state of Minnesota venture capital and the economic situation and how you're feeling about it and so forth, and then we'll get into some specifics.
Sure. Well, first off, Rainsource Capital is a network of managed angel funds. We are somewhat the parent company, and we have 23 funds in six states. We have about $20 million of capital in our network. And so our network it's Minnesota mainly, but we also go into the Dakotas, Iowa, Montana, and Idaho. So we see deals pretty much across the northern tier of the U.S. The current state that we see is that our deal flow has been really good. We are angel investors, so we are, pre-venture capital. But we've had real good deal flow across all areas. We've seen some interesting technology deals that we've funded this year. Plus, we've also seen things in other areas, consumer products, medical, and even some industrial technology stuff that we've looked at.
Yeah, this is Graham. Are you, as far as deal flow goes, are you seeing it as heavy as the first half of the year, or are you implying that it's even getting heavier as the year has gone along here?
If we look at 2008 in total, we had real good deal flow. The year started that we were even a little surprised with. We had a large number of deals coming in from all throughout the network. And then we got into July and August, and it slowed down, which more has, I think, things to do with summer than it did with any economic situation. And then it started to pick up a little bit here in the fall. As for the economic considerations, I don't know if we're going to see that until maybe Q1 of 2009. Because once we get into November and December, just with the holidays, people just kind of slow things down.
Yeah.
We funded, just kind of off the top of my head, I bet you we've put money into probably 12 to 15 companies this year in our network. Not all of that's been follow-on. Probably most of it's been new. So we've had real good deal flow.
How does that compare to 2007 as far as your numbers?
I'd say 2007 was a little lighter. I think for a couple of reasons. One, we're doing this podcast today, other interviews, just getting out on the web, and getting in front of people more in 2007 has led to us getting more deal flow. We had kind of been a little bit under the radar, and our network really wasn't big enough until probably the end of 2006. To where we could start seeing, people saying, you've got to come to Rainsource, you've got to talk to them if you get an early stage deal.
In that respect, Pete, where do your deals come from? I mean, are people approaching you at Rain headquarters from all through the six states and beyond that where your network is represented? Or?
We've got a few areas how people come in and touch us. The first is direct referral by members, where we have members in 26 states around the country. So they see a broad array of deal flow. We've actually done deals as far away as Indiana, where we had a member of one of our funds. And we've looked at deals, obviously coming out of the Pacific Northwest and in Southern California. We probably don't look at those, but we do see some of those. So that's the first way. The second way is some of our funds have very strong alignments with economic development organizations in states or university incubators. So that provides us another way of deal flow. The third is We use a software called AngelSoft, which is becoming a de facto standard for angel investing, deal tracking, and deal sharing. So those people come to us unsolicited. And then the fourth is we'll get a phone call and, you know, just come across. And as we talk to them, it sounds interesting, and we come in and they talk to us. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how we get our deal flow. You know, our deal flow is probably on par with, most private equity and venture capital firms. We probably see 400 or 500 deals a year.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
And then you said you did 12 to 15 this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, and that's pretty much typical. We try to have our funds do 3 to 4 deals a year. And, you know, we're putting typically 50 to 100,000 a fund into each deal and then trying to aggregate that. So, you know, if we do those 3 to 4 financings in each group, that works out to about 15 companies kind of between new and follow on.
Mm-hmm.
So, Pete, talk about what the typical process is when a deal gets you, however sure. It gets you from any of these methods, and you meet with the entrepreneur or the founding team. Walk us through what the typical scenario is and how long it takes, because I know sure. It can take some time.
Right. One of the things that we're a little different than probably an individual angel or that is that we do have a fund structure. So our funds are set up as limited liability companies, and each member gets a vote. So to do a deal, you have to get it in front of a meeting to have the company presented initially, and then if the fund decides they like that, then they go into due diligence, which is a traditional due diligence program where we look at, you know, all areas of the business, management, market, financials, and we go through that process, and that probably is going to take 60 to 90 days, really, to go through that. And then once it gets through that process, it comes back to the members, and they decide either to invest or pass on it. When I talk to an investor, or not to investor, to a company, we typically tell them you need to expect, you know, 90 to 120 days to get through the process. But what that allows you to do in our network is that if one fund invests in you, then they have the option then to syndicate it or share it throughout the network to the other funds. And we've done that with a good number of our companies where they've raised 50 to 100,000 from one of our funds, and then we've brought it to other funds for them to invest. And they've been able to raise, you know, between 250 to 500,000 in a fairly short period of time. You know, it's not back in the napkin, write a check type of things, but it moves, you know, quickly, I guess, as opposed to maybe traditional venture capital.
What percentage of the deals that you have invested in so far this year involve multiple angel networks or funds, as you call them?
I would say probably 70%.
Okay. So.
Probably 70. It's going to be a majority of them because our funds are, you know, it's been interesting as this network's grown. We're starting to see them cluster in areas. So you'll have a fund, let's say we have a fund in Sioux Falls that kind of controls about 7 or 8 funds, kind of interface with them. We have a very strong fund in Fargo and Grand Forks, and capital kind of gets magnetically attracted to that fund, and that helps. So what tends to happen is one of those funds it gets into that network, and then the other funds will follow on with it. So the goal here is obviously for us to get these syndicated and spread this initial risk across these early rounds, across many funds.
You know, one thing I'm curious about is, looking at the existing RAIN funds, and the various states in the region and so forth, is what's your level of involvement with these new startups when you do go through these rounds with them?
We don't want to be managers. We don't don't take an active role. We don't take, you know, consultative relationships, things like that. We will put people on the board, and we have 450 members in our network. And what we'll try to do is, if someone in our office doesn't go on the board, we'll look to put a member on there that has either a very strong interest in the deal or real specific expertise. You know, the stage we're investing at, all these companies are going to have issues and holes that need to be filled with talent. And if we can use our members to augment that on a board, that's just another way we can help.
Mm-hmm.
And most of these members are successful business people that some, and many are retired or semi-retired, and they actively do like serving on boards, I would assume.
Actually, most of our members are still actively involved in their business. Our sweet spot for our members, they're between 45 and 65 years old. They're still involved in their businesses. They do like serving on boards and helping. It's the help that where they see a chance to give back in their community or to a deal. And that kind of is on par with financial return. Financial return is still a big part of that. But there is a little bit of saying, you know what, I want to give something back and help another person get brought up and become a successful entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm. Pete, what sectors do you like mostly, or do your funds like? And specifically, could you talk about internet and web technology deals that you've funded that you can talk about? And you being kind of the most plugged in internet savvy guy there at Rain.
Well, yes, and I do like internet technology deals, and so I tend to slide more towards those. But we do look at everything. We have Brian Johnson in our office, who's got 25 years of venture capital experience and is very strong in medical device. Joan Werzer in our office has got experience with medical and manufacturing and consumer products. And Steve Marcel, our CEO, has got that same background as well and has served on boards. So we really look at a lot of different things when we look at deals because our members are diverse. It's almost easier saying, what don't we do? We really don't do a lot of oil and mining exploration type stuff. Alternative energy is hard for us because it needs so much capital. Mm-hmm. And then we try to stay away from retail just because we've tried to do some and it's just never worked real well. In terms of internet deals that I've looked at this year, the two that I'm probably closest involved with, one is Interactive out of Grand Forks, North Dakota, and the other one is FlySpy, which is in the Twin Cities.
Mm-hmm.
And we've worked with those guys for, years and got them through funding. And I'm very excited about both of those. Angel investing and kind of the web 2.0, it really works well where you can use, things with Amazon and cheapness of technology to really develop things in an angel budget and get it out there and generating revenue and seeing what you can do in that without having to have that $5 to $10 million you used to have in the pre-bubble type web.
Right.
And so I like those. And we've got a couple other deals that we're looking at that are kind of those web-based services type models, using the web to deliver services. And I really think I really think in this slowing economy, if you can provide these services and reduce headcount and deliver it over the web, and people are going to be looking at that because they're just not going to be adding administrative headcount over probably the next couple of years.
Well, absolutely. And in fact, we all have had a lot of different discussions with different companies and startups and various organizations about this exact topic, about all of the reduction in cycle time that can occur with, a collaboration application like OnePlace, and so forth, and how it can be positioned as a way to reduce the need for so many humans to be involved in process and so forth, and to make everybody more productive.
Well, yeah, and I also, you know, in just the ability to keep augmenting features and benefits of your software in one spot rather than having to do the old client server upgrade. It's interesting, if, you know, kind of circling back, Angelsoft really didn't, our deal tracking software didn't take off until they got web-enabled, which was just in July of 07. Until that time, they were a client-server model. And once they went web-enabled, they went from, you know, 50 groups to 400 groups in a year. So just seeing how, just, you know, in our industry, how you're going to see more and more the use of technology to enable deal flow amongst really disparate angel groups.
Can you talk about that software? I mean, sure. I know I'm not really aware of it and what it
well,
is.
It's really interesting. Just as a caveat, when we started our RAIN network, we knew we couldn't send business plans around via email and you know, snail mail. So we actually went and we developed our own software, which was just a spectacular failure. it just didn't work real well, but it got up where it was up and running, and it was good enough to try to do a rudimentary deal tracking. But Angelsoft came on the market, you know, 3-4 years ago. It's founded by David Rose, who's a very successful angel out of Manhattan, and he's an angel. His family's been in property management in Manhattan. And he's actually created an incubator space now. So he built this software to say, you know what, I'm having trouble tracking these deals. Let's build something for these people so that these angels can have people send their deals through, complete a very simple application, upload things, and then you can manage your group. And it turned out that he hit the market exactly right, because one of the things that's also happening in angel investing is angels are figuring out, as the venture capital, early stage venture capital has migrated, you know, I think the average early stage round is about $6 million now. Angels have to be able to stick with their companies longer and be able to spread that risk around, so they're going to need to collaborate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the best way to do that is using a, you know, a web-based software tool that allows you to do that. And Angelsoft just, you know everything kind of came together really nicely. And we went on it, and the deal tracking, you know, we had that in our software, but the one thing we didn't have is the group management stuff where you can contact members via email. You can upload all your meeting things because, I mean, you know, as with any large organization, when you're trying to set up meetings, it's really a hassle to try to manage that inside of email. And it's been just a real benefit to us. It's probably saved me it took 5 hours a week of my time. I got it back because I wasn't dealing with the software.
Wow.
So, David's really an interesting guy. He's done a few podcasts and that, and he does speak very eloquently about software and angel investing. So, and they do have some venture firms actually using it now too for their initial deal screening.
Wow. Well, speaking of sort of next rounds and the evolution of a startup and so on is, you know, how are you seeing the current state of innovation in Minnesota, and how are your colleagues seeing it, and what sorts of things do you think might be able to kickstart creativity and innovation specifically around the internet and the web?
You know, the biggest one thing I see, I'm really, you know, short term, I guess I'm, you know, it's going to be a tough economy here. No one knows what's going on. I don't think it's, you know, Great Depression, you know, type of economic scenarios, but it's going to be rough. I think the next 18 months, we're going to have a new administration. People are going to be, you know, wondering what's going on. You're seeing some things, you know, in manufacturing with GM and the car industry kind of resizing, and that's going to cause some stress. But I think, you know, once we get through this next 18 months, I think the economy is going to be, you know, strong again. And in terms of Minnesota, I really think, you know, with the things that you guys are doing, when we talk about mini bar, you know, mini demo, I think the one thing that we've kind of always lacked in this is kind of a way for people to get it together and say, hey, I got this neat idea. Let's talk about it. Let's do these things. And then, you know what, an idea springs up. And getting that idea created and then saying, you know what, you know, let's see if we can do something out of this simply and easily. And I think that's going to be the driver that's going to really push the Metro and really the whole upper Midwest forward is kind of start finding areas where people can get together, talk about ideas and create something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that even, you know, since I've been, you know, been around this scene for so long, you know, it's much better. You know, I see, you know, we see better companies, better entrepreneurs, a lot of people that have been at it for many years are, you know, kind of getting through and starting to see success. And I also think, you know, you've got a benefit of you got a lot of college kids here. They want to stay here. They'd like to do technology things. And, you know, if we can create somewhat of a structure to help them, and the Rain Fund's a part of it, you know, there's other places, you know, there's got to, you know, maybe be some simple incubator space where they can, you know, rent a space. You know, there was some stuff back in the 90s in St. Paul. There were some places like that where they can get a closet or a room where they can work and be around like people.
Yep.
And then that all kind of comes together in a continuum with capital. And over time, you know, it takes a while to do this, but, you know, I think we're doing much better than maybe we give ourselves credit for.
How do you see your criteria for funding changing over the next few months as we go into this downturn?
Well, I think the thing we're going to see is companies, you know, it seems really simple, but the ability to manage cash effectively from round to round is going to be one of the key things. If, you know, the ability, when I guess look at our companies in our portfolio and I look at new companies, and this has been this way probably since, I guess I've been doing this since early 08, is kind of saying, how fast can we get this company at least to cash flow neutral or to some point where we can stay with you in our network and funding you? So as we go through this downturn, that's the key point for our early stage deals, is getting them way down the road with their milestones, so that when we get that next funding, we do have a significant jump. I think what we're gonna see is valuations on subsequent rounds are gonna be lower. I don't think it's devastatingly lower, but they're gonna be lower because we know we're gonna have to stay with them longer. And then if we've got some later stage investments in our portfolio that need to get out and get returns to us, that's gonna be hard for us. And I think we're worried a little bit on those exit valuations and who's gonna be buying those. So, you know, as with everything, it all kind of flows downhill in this industry. And so if we're getting plugged up at exit, it's going to come fall down on us. And probably we'll see that, as I think in Q1, and very sure in Q2 of 09, as we look at these companies that are going to need next rounds.
I'm sure you've seen the Sequoia Capital deck that's been shared with their portfolio companies recently. Is that sort of thought that came out of them, the sort of the bat in the hatches approach, kind of what you're talking to your companies about as well?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that got printed off and shared around the network and around the office. And I think, it kind of got played up as this clarion call that, you know, oh my God, Sequoia is putting the stake in the ground. You know, it's really bad. It's going to be tough. But I think, you know, one of the things, at least the entrepreneurs I see, they're really good about managing cash. I'm not seeing guys saying, you know what, I need to spend, you know, $70,000, you know, to get my server room in set up. You know, they're saying, okay, how can I outsource this? They're going back to their vendors saying, hey guys, I got to conserve my cash. You got to give me a haircut here. And some vendors are doing it and some aren't. But we've been talking about, at least I've been talking about it with at least, you know, with a couple of my companies, you know, ever since we funded them, and said, you know, you got to make this cash last a long time. You can't come back to me in 9 months and say, you know what, I'm 8-9 months away again and I need another $500,000. It's going to be real tough. I think, you know, from the Sequoia standpoint, you know, when they talk about early stage, you know, you know, the numbers get a little skewed, I guess, for us in angel investing. You know, an early stage round to us is 250 to 500,000. You know, maybe an early stage to them is 3-4 million. And that if we had, and so from our standpoint, it's a little easier in our network, obviously, if we had to put another 250 to 500 in a deal to handle that. But at a larger stage, I think maybe some of those early stage venture companies that have that cash are really maybe going to be under the gun to really get farther along on that round. You know, so, but I really like low burn rates right now.
Yeah.
Like $25,000-$30,000 a month burn rates are make me feel pretty good about our companies.
Hey, Pete, on the optimistic side of the equation, have you seen Paul Graham's post, why to start a startup in a bad economy? And if so, what do you think of that?
Oh, I haven't seen that, Graham, but I'm, you know, obviously this is a, you know, wonderful time to do this. You know, just go through history, you know, we can all talk through the 73-74 recession where, you know, FedEx came out of that. You know, you can maybe, some people have said, well, Microsoft was kind of in that time frame.
Yep.
You know, but Apple. I guess I kind of, Apple, yep, they were in that time frame. Then you go into the 80-81 recession, that's where you had Cisco came out of there and companies. And then, you know, in the late 90 recession, you had, you know, Google was, you know, coming out of there. I think there's going to be wonderful companies that are started at any time. I think what happens is people look back and maybe say, God, you know, look at how terrible, you know, the economy was. But underneath it, you know, there's always innovation sprinkling up. There's always things popping up. And it takes a while to look back and say, you know what? It wasn't, you know, it wasn't a great time to maybe be trying to do some things in the economy, but to do a startup in an early stage business, it's a great time. So I really think, you know, I would encourage people that are thinking about it to do it. Now, I don't think, you know, you can get away with, you know, putting $100,000 in your credit cards and doing some of that stuff. You know, I would say, you know, make sure you keep your job, you know, figure out ways to keep your cash flow going. But yeah, I think it's a great time to start a business.
Well, all you entrepreneurs out there, make sure you try to meet Pete at the next mini demo. You're going to be there, Pete, in November? Or?
You know, I wish I was, Graham. I have to be in North Dakota at my fund meetings that week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you're still out there and approachable, and I certainly know that I'm in touch with you on a regular basis and try to point people your way all the time. One other thing I was going to ask you about, Pete, your annual RAIN conference.
Yes.
You want to talk about that a bit?
Yeah, we once a year we get all our members together in a location, and we kind of talk through what we see in the network and kind of get everyone excited. It's really interesting because our members wind up getting more excited about this than we do when they talk about investing and what we're doing and how we're building companies. This year, we're going to be in Sioux Falls next week for our conference. It's a closed conference, but we're actually going to go and kind of go through a live due diligence process with some companies. And because one of the things in angel investing that's hard is that, and this is kind of universal in angel investing, since we've got a network, we're a little bit ahead of the curve, but angel funds want to syndicate or share deals amongst themselves, but they haven't figured out how to adequately transfer a due diligence process or a standardized process so that people can look at a report or look at some type of guidance and say, okay, I can at least rely on this. And so what we're working on in our network is so that when we do a deal, and so we can quickly syndicate it, that everyone gets a standardized report, and then they can decide whether to take that report or and then add more to it if they need to. And so that's one of the things we've been working on for the last 18 months, and that's kind of the culmination of this conference, of saying, you know, we're going to tell everyone how RAIN Source is going to do due diligence, and this is how we want you to try to do it. So that's kind of the interesting thing on our conference. So.
You have a keynote speaker at this one, too?
You know, we're not. We're actually going to have a
doing start it that way.
Yeah, we actually. It's not that we we've had some really good keynote speakers. We had Rich Krogard a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I was there. Yeah,
and then we had Stuart Alsop last year.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, yeah, and we decided this year what we got some feedback on is everyone said, you know what, we'd much rather just talk to each other.
And
we want to network. It's our actually. Rainforest Capital was created 10 years ago, so it's a 10-year anniversary. And so we're going to do a little thing and just have a kind of evening reception and have our members talk to each other, because that's one of the things they told us. They said, we like you give us time to network, but we really, at that night, we kind of get stuck at the table. We don't really get to talk to everyone. So why don't we do something different this year? So that's what we're going to try. And either it's going to be a wonderful experience, or we're going to look at it at the end and say, well, that didn't go too well. But but we think it'll be fine. I don't anticipate any, screaming matches in these due diligence rooms. So.
And this conference is open is for existing members, but it's open to prospective new members if there's any aspiring angels out there, right?
Yeah, if they're interested. If you're to be in the RAIN network, you have to be an accredited investor. We do continue to talk about forming funds, and we're interested in talking to people. We do have some criteria we have, and that we want to see, just because of there's certain size amounts on funds that we'd like to see, because it allows you to really stay with your investments over your life. We do run these funds as 10-year funds, and so it is a long-term commitment in that. But again, from when I start, I've been at RainSource 4 years. When I started, we had 5 investing funds, and now we're at 23.
So, yeah,
it's growing. It's growing very nicely.
How many are in the Twin Cities now? It's about 3 of them in the greater Twin Cities area. You got the Northfield and the Sophia Fund.
We have Northfield. We have a South Metro, which is in Burnsville. We have St. Cloud. I'll count St. Cloud in the Metro.
Sure.
Because we do have members in there. We do have the Sophia Fund, which is only looks at women-owned deals or businesses that benefit women.
Right.
And they have, and that's located in the cities, but they look nationally at
right.
But even that, up in my fund in Grand Forks, I've got 6 Twin Cities people in it.
Huh.
And we have people from, Colorado in that, and New Mexico and Indiana, as I said. So,
huh. Interesting.
Yeah. So we have, good. So even if you're a deal in the Twin Cities, there's a chance that you'll actually, I think I've got a deal in Alexandria right now. It was, it's like, oh, he's in the cities. You need to meet with him. So, just because, you're in the cities and maybe you don't fit, you may know someone or be able to come to us. We can say, we've got expertise in this fund. We're going to introduce you to these guys.
Sure. Well, that was the case with FlySpy, which is based here in the cities, but is being funded by the North Dakota networks, right?
Yeah, we raised money from them in North Dakota. We did get some money from the Twin Cities on that. And, that one, I think, it's 2 years we worked with Rob really to get that deal going. And so, are willing
August,
also.
It was August of 06, I remember, when I dragged him over there.
Right, and we we're willing to sit and talk about, talk with people and wait to get your idea right and just kind of work through it if we think it's worth doing. And even if we don't, hopefully that we can, at least send you to people that we know to talk to them and get some of these contacts going on your business so you can get some help.
Sure. The community. Yeah, the power of leveraging the community, as you were talking about earlier. So.
Right.
Yeah, well, we really appreciate you spending the time with us, Pete.
Thanks, Pete.
Well, thank you, guys. This was fun. I'm more than willing anytime you want. Maybe we follow up in 6 months and say, hey, well, what's changed?
That would be cool.
So, all right.
Great.
Well,
Thanks
again,
much,
thank Pete. Thank you so much, and you guys have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too. That was great to have him on. Well, why don't we just finish up here real quickly, and we had a few things just to make sure that people were aware of. And the first one is Richard Stallman, the free software guy, is going to be speaking at the University of Minnesota Tuesday night at 6:30. And I got to tell you that this guy is, there's no gray area with Richard Stallman. I mean, he is just, I'm sure he's going to show up with, his Linux laptop that makes sure that it doesn't have a chip inside that can't be identified. The guy's got phenomenal ideas, and I think it's going to be pretty interesting.
Oh yeah, it's going to be great at Wiley Hall on the West Bank. And then our friend John Roberts sent me a notice that there's going to be a little gathering at Bullwinkle's afterwards.
Oh really?
Just a few blocks away from,
yep,
from there. So so yeah, we can apparently raise a glass with Richard there. So that'll be fun.
Excellent. Well, can you talk about the social media breakfast on Halloween?
Yeah, I'd love to. We have another event on the morning of Halloween, costumes optional. Our eighth consecutive monthly gathering of the Social Media Breakfast Organization, which is a grassroots bunch of folks that get together to talk about all things social media. And we've got a wonderful speaker that I was lucky enough to snag this month, and it's David Meerman Scott, who's a popular author and speaker. Gets a pretty penny for speaking, actually, but we managed to snag him for next to nothing here because he was already in town for an event on the 30th. He is the author of The New Rules of Marketing and PR, and we'll be speaking about that and about another book he's got coming. And he has a pretty entertaining talk that'll be about 40 minutes. And we have a sponsor that's actually making his book available to all the attendees. So,
oh, really?
Up to 100 people that may show up. I don't know that we'll get that many. We typically have been getting those 70 or 80 people at the most recent gatherings. And so David will speak. And then we've got Steve Nielsen of Partner Up, which was just acquired by Deluxe within the last few months, and the meeting is at Deluxe headquarters, Deluxe Corp in Shoreview, right at 494. And it's on the site. You'll see it on the link. Excuse me, it's 694. I mean, up in Shoreview.
Yep.
I can't remember the exit, but anyway. If you go to the link that we'll post in the notes, you can RSVP to come to that meeting. There's no cost, so everyone's welcome who's interested in social media.
Well, and then last but not least, our pals over at Visy have a Vision 2008 conference coming up on November 13th, and I'll put links to all the stuff we talked about today in the show notes, but the timing couldn't be more perfect because it's going to be about technology innovations that drive business. And it's all about, virtualization and disaster recovery and collaboration software and so on and so forth. And who's going to be the keynote speaker, Graham?
Robert Stevens, our friend from Geek Squad, who is always entertaining.
And the guy speaks without any notes whatsoever. And he's entertaining as heck. Yeah.
The guy could have been a stand-up comic. I mean, he's just flat out funny. He's always like hearing Robert. So that's going to be a good one. And they're going to have a CIO panel and stuff like that. So I think they'll draw a pretty good crowd.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, guys, this has been terrific. Garrick, next time you just can't dominate the conversation like this.
And I really apologize, guys. I had so much on my mind. That's right.
Well, hey, good you were on, Tim. Good to talk to you. And Graham, thanks for inviting Pete in. And we'll see you guys next week.
Absolutely. Wonderful, prescient conversation. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, have a great Saturday, guys.
You too.
Take care.